and the truth is us from all sin. If we say we are without sin, we lie, and the truth is not in us. But if we admit our sins, God, the faithful and just one, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all injustice. If we say we have not sinned, we call God a liar and show that God's word is not in us. This is a word from our holy scriptures. Thanks be to God.
Our theme for the month of September as we launch into kind of the fall, although it hasn't felt like fall. This has been the best summer month we've ever had this year. It's been awesome. It's supposed to be like that this week as well. But we've been talking about change and transformation and beginning again. And so today I want to share with you one more tool, powerful tool, for transformation as the last of this series. And that's this. It is the practice of confession. Practice of confession. I know, it's a big word. It's a challenging practice. It's often messy. And even for some people, it might be triggering if they grew up in a tradition that forced confession on its adherents. But I think in many ways, Protestants threw out the baby with the bathwater when we rejected this practice of confession, because I think it's really important. Humans need some way for unburdening ourselves, and more importantly, to receive absolution or forgiveness for the things that really weigh us down in our lives. When we hold on to these burdens of guilt or shame or fear or any of these things, when we feel bad about things in our lives, we become sick. We become sick as a society. And we become sick as individuals if we hold on to things, both morally and physically. And the world suffers as it is now. Now, we all human beings have feelings of guilt and shame. Yet we often don't have a mechanism for moving toward a resolution of these feelings. And we need to resolve them in order to be truly free. It's really vital to our well-being and what we think about ourselves. We carry around so many burdens that we don't need to carry because we're human and because we don't know how to accept true forgiveness. The scripture that Patty just read from 1 John reminds us that if we cannot admit our sin, we are lying. The truth is not in us. These are really tough words to hear. We find it hard to speak the truth about ourselves because society somehow sets us up to be perfect. Those who don't project strength or admit to their vulnerability, to their mistakes, might be victims of others. I recently heard something that kind of stuck with me, and I've been thinking about that since. No one casts themselves as the villain or the bad guy in their own stories. No one casts themselves as the villain or the bad guy in their own stories. Even when we feel guilty or ashamed, we are going to try to create a story that somehow justifies our actions, our thoughts, our behaviors. We don't ever want to be the villain in our own stories. And if you don't believe that, just look at almost everybody's social media pages. We all project the best of ourselves, never the worst. Few really come across as humble enough to admit their imperfection, their humanness. And yet we are human. We are not gods. We are not perfect. And there's one thing I know these days that's causing really big problems in our world. Our leaders are not admitting to their mistakes. Amen. Our leaders are not admitting to their mistakes. In politics, in religion, in corporations, and it is tearing at the fabric of our society. It is ripping apart any morality we ever had in our societies. Nations, church leaders, corporate leaders need to do some soul searching and confess their sin, as do we. Why? Why should we admit to our sin? Because it makes us real and it makes us relatable and it holds us responsible for our own choices, for our own behavior. And this is what we dearly need in our society these days. And if we can't do it, we're going to keep going down the same road we're going, and we are going to be in big trouble if we're not already. We will find ourselves in a moral morass. Perhaps in many ways we're already there. We look around and we see societal decay, community decay happening all around us. And if we can't admit that we're vulnerable, that we're sinners, I'll explain that in a minute, in need of forgiveness, we're not going to get to a place we want to be, a place of vulnerability and love and acceptance for all people. So what's sin? For some, it's a dirty word, a triggering word. They may have grown up in a tradition or a culture where, you know, they were told they were sinners. They've been shamed with the word. And I haven't used it much in my own preaching, probably for most of those reasons. But it's time to recover the word sin. Maybe we're struggling today because we have completely jettisoned this idea of sin. Not the sin that is preached from pulpits, but just the sin of being human, of making mistakes. And maybe we've tried to keep everything positive and encouraging, and we should. Every message should be positive and encouraging, but what we're doing right now isn't working. So we need to understand what it is. Sin in the English language goes back to the Middle Ages, and the basic definition of it is an act which is regarded as a transgression of the divine law and an offense against God, or a violation in general, either willful or deliberate, of some moral principle, even religious principle. In other words, to sin is to violate natural law, to violate God's law, or some standard of behavior that is inherent in the created order, what we know is right. To sin is to go against what is good and right and moral. That's it in simple terms, which means that it's damaging to our well-being or others or the earth. So sin is simply whatever we do that is damaging to ourselves, damaging to others, damaging to the earth, the natural order of things. So when we engage in sinful behavior, we're violating what is good and perpetrating something that does harm. That's all. That's sin. And I want to say also, there are many things that make us feel bad that aren't really sin because they don't do damage. An example this morning, somebody was changing the candle out at DeWinton, and when they pulled the top off, the oil flew everywhere. And he said, "Oh no, I've sinned." It's just a mistake, right? Just an accident. That's not sin. Didn't do any damage. It's all fine. There are lots of things that we carry around is not really sin. It hasn't done damage to ourselves or others. But there are other things where that are sin that we don't even recognize anymore because we accept them as so normal. Things like overconsumption or microaggressions or discrimination. It's so baked into society that we don't see them as sin anymore. So I want to say, to admit to our sin and to engage in the practice of confession just might be necessary for our survival, for the health and well-being of the planet. We are these days engaging in and allowing ideas and behaviors that are not only doing a little bit of damage, they're doing tremendous damage in this world. And we can't afford to ignore it. We have to own up to it. One of the primary and most healing tenets of Alcoholics Anonymous and the recovery movement in general is step 4, where participants in the program are encouraged to make a searching and fearless moral inventory as part of their process. Step 4 of AA is designed to help those struggling with addiction examine their behavior and their character. And I would say, that's not just for people in recovery. It should be for all of us. And through the process of discovering the true nature of our character, of our behavior, a participant learns to identify the weaknesses that really may have contributed to their addiction. And when one identifies those weaknesses, it allows them to create plans, to seek help, to be in community, so that they can change their habits for the future. Now, as one can expect, self-reflection can be very deeply challenging and uncomfortable, yet so important to our health, to our recovery. And it just might be the antidote to the problems we're experiencing today. We need some humble admissions of the harm we cause ourselves and others. You can see that where this encouragement toward introspection might be helpful in this current climate that we're experiencing today. Not this self-effacing, self-flagellating, oh, bad me kind of introspection, but an honest, unflinching admission of what we have done or are doing that has caused harm and then admitting it, which is the same as confession. That's all that confession is. We are not encouraged anymore to do this in a society of instant gratification and fast everything. We're not encouraged to stop and do the hard work over and over again and to do a searching and fearless moral inventory because it is a daunting task, yet so vital to our understanding of ourselves and of other people. But the recovery program doesn't stop there. There's another step, step 5, which goes with step 4, and it's commonly known as the confession step. And in this step, individuals are encouraged to admit to God, themselves, and to another human being the exact nature of their wrongs. And this is crucial to the recovery process. To lay your soul bare to another is to come face to face with exactly who you are and what you have done. Again, not in order to be down on yourself. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. It's for the purpose of unburdening yourself so you can finally be free of all of those things, free to be your true self. And as painful and as ugly as it can be, and I have done some step fives with people, it is the key to unlocking all of the guilt and shame that people carry around, expose it to the light, and find out that all humans are human. We're all human. We screw up all of the time, all of us. Welcome to the human experience, my friends. We need pressure valves, and this is it. We need something that at least releases the pressure in our lives, some practice that allows us to let go of the things that burden us and free us to move on with our lives without sinking into that dark hole that threatens to swallow us whole, take away our joy, our sense of aliveness, our happiness, and confession is part of that process. Our tradition takes it one step further, beyond the searching, fearless, and moral inventory and the confession. Our Christian tradition dares to proclaim, as Patty read in Scripture today, that God will forgive all our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. That God will forgive us. this is just a fancy way of saying that God no longer expects us to hold on to any of this stuff. We don't have to carry it around anymore. We move into right relationship with God, with ourselves, and with others when we can get rid of everything that separates us and brings us and bring us together. We're free to let go of our guilt and shame when we are ready to confess and truly receive forgiveness. We no longer have to carry those burdens. Which doesn't mean we won't sin again. We're human, we will. Over and over. It's just that we'll now know what it is to confess and move past our past. I want to give you a caveat. Confession is not a free card to play so that you can continue to do the same thing over and over and over again. That's not what it's about. Confession and accepting forgiveness is not about that. If we engage the process with genuine intention and heartfelt contrition, it can offer us such a lightness of being that we never want to feel that way again. We won't continue doing the same things because we've been forgiven of them. We don't want to go back to that. We don't ever want to do it again. So it's not about doing it again. It's about exactly the opposite. It's about being truly free of them, about changing us, about transforming us and moving us forward in freedom. Forgiveness is a powerful force for change when we engage it. And when we engage it and we experience that freedom, we don't ever want to hurt ourselves or others ever again because we know what it's like to feel that freedom. Confession and forgiveness is transformative. We can finally truly love ourselves and others. Burden is lifted, we're free. No one who truly experiences this ever wants to go back. And I want to say this to wrap up. Confession and forgiveness is not a religious need. We may teach it in church, but it's a human need. It is the pressure valve of the human experience. We all make mistakes. We do damage. We hurt others. We mess up relationships. We damage the earth. We all do it. It's okay, we're human. We just have to admit it. So do we have that courage to look that deeply into our lives, to confess whatever burdens us, not just to ourselves or to God, but this is key as well, to somebody else? This is the hard part. To sit down with somebody else and tell them what's been going on in your soul. Confession works best this way. Then can you accept it? Can you accept forgiveness, deep forgiveness? Forgiveness that truly frees you from those things that you're holding on to. I dearly hope so for all of our sakes because the world desperately needs it. Let's think about that for a few minutes.